and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Appreciate for Brother Dai, such a kind man. And help him to be ready for next week. Lord, no, we thank you today. We appreciate your kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you can use us despite of us. Lord, we don't necessarily have to be eloquent. We don't have to be necessarily brain surgeon smart. But Lord, you still use us despite of us. Lord, use us in our abilities that you give us. And use us in the things that we feel like we're not able to do. You still use us. And Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us today as we study your word. And as we look at your name, Elohim, I pray that you would be here in the room, in the midst of us, to teach us and guide us, Holy Spirit. For all we are is, we're just humans, Lord, and we've got finite mind. We can't totally understand everything. Even me as I teach, Lord, help me guide my tongue. Help me to say what I need to say. And Lord, help me not to say the things I don't need to say. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. We love you again, and we give you the praise, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Elohim, Genesis 17 and verse 1, where you find the first mention of the word Elohim. Obviously, in our Bible, it doesn't say Elohim. So I hope you understand that will be the Hebrew term, Elohim. But in the translation to our Bible, smarter people than I am have studied this, so by the way. And we can trust them. And when Abraham was 90 years old, in Genesis 17:1, it's in your paper, you don't have to turn there. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Man, that would scare the fire out of me. If a voice from heaven just came down and said, hey, Abram, 99. My mother, he would be shaken by then. I don't know. They didn't get as frail or as old really quick. I mean, some of them got married when they were 70. Abraham didn't have a kid yet, 99. So, I don't know. He might have been shaken. He probably didn't have a cane then at that time. But I would be shaken if God, Almighty God, comes. I am the Almighty God, he says. And it says this, walk before me and be thou perfect. Man, that would put a chill on you. You know, a lot of people, some disabilities or some hallucination, some people get it, not because they were using drugs, obviously, but sometimes they get it just because of a defect, and not to say anything against them. But I sometimes get them myself and hear voices, and they see things pass by. And that's probably why I'm weird. I talk to myself, but really not talking to myself. I saw something. No, I'm just kidding. But people, you know, see things and such. But that would scare me if the Almighty God comes down and calls me by name and says, hey, by the way, I'm the Almighty God. I want you to walk with me. And then it goes, and be thou perfect. Man, that would scare me. I wonder, throughout the Bible, you know, we like, well, that would be neat if God would speak to us audibly. That would be awesome, right? Because right now, God doesn't choose to do it that way. He chosen through his providence and his sovereignty to give us his word in the book form. And by the way, the Bible is an infinite, infinite book full of wisdom from Almighty God. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that he put it in a finite form whereby we can handle it every day of our lives. We can read it. We can look at it. It's in our form. Writing, ink, paper. The wisdom of Almighty God. We have it in a finite form. That's amazing. But that would be scary. You know, the people of Israel, when they first was led by Moses, this is predating Moses. This is way before Moses. This is when God was trying to work with the people of Israel, trying to start the people of Israel. See, Abraham, by the way, was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. God made the nation out of Abraham. It's just like picking one of you. Brother Dai, I'm going to pick you and start a whole new nation out of you. That's what God did with Abraham. And he's the father of Israel. And you ask any Jew, they speak highly of Abraham. At this point, he's only named Abram. But God, like I said again, names mean so much. Name means so much. I believe I got the name of Abraham here and what it means. Abram means high father. Abraham means father of many nations. And that was his name, High Father. Patriarch. We call him the patriarch, Abram. But then God changed his name to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. And God promised to Abraham in a covenant, and we'll look through that. And God says that your seed will be more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars of the universe. And I believe that even scientists today that observe stars has not a definite, specific number of stars. They're still finding things, still finding more stars, still finding this. The more they develop the telescope, the farther they can see outside, and the farther they go see, the more they discover. But Elohim, I'm on the wrong page here. There we go. The first name used to define, describe, reveal God to creation is Elohim. This is an empathetic statement which, without controversy, before there was anything else, there was God, Elohim. The author of all creation places his divine signature upon the manuscript that will evidence all that he will do through his creation. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. It is found some 3,000 times, and over 2,300 of these make reference to the term applied to God. The English word is God. In the King James Version, refers to Elohim, the Creator. So, this is not the first mention of God, but this is the first mention of God, obviously, was in the beginning God. So Elohim refers to God as the Creator. He was the one before everybody else. He was living in eternity past. He will live, he's living now in eternity present, and then he will live forever in the eternity future. He doesn't have time confining him. He doesn't have place or particular area that confines him. He's at everywhere at all times. He's omnipresent. And he doesn't have any ideas that doesn't come to him. He has them all at his disposal. And anything that we might say, well, this is my idea, probably it was somebody else's idea a long time ago. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. But we have a great privilege as Christian. Why? Because our God is not under the sun. He was the creator of the sun, that's obvious. But he is the maker of the sun, and he's in heaven. And remember the wisdom? He talks about wisdom. And the wisdom, sometimes devilish, jealousy. That's a devilish wisdom, sensual, carnal. That wisdom, the Bible tells us in James, does not come from above. It comes from the earth. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. But there's wisdom that comes from God. And the base things of God confound the wise. And the things foolish to God confound even the wise of earth. The weak things of God confound those that are strong. So God is an almighty God. Elohim, the creator. Time was created by him. And the Bible tells us without him was not anything made that was made. God made everything, every idea, everything. Every physical object you hold, even the spiritual aspect, he made them. And so there's no limit to God. The only one that limits God is himself. And we limit God in our daily lives by saying, well, God, I'm not going to trust you this. God tells you, hey, you need to give a little bit more. Or you need to go ahead and take some of your time and maybe go out knocking on doors. Take yourself somebody else. Go on an off night. Go on a weekday. Go maybe when you get a chance. And you say, well, God, I can't do that. If God tells you to do that, not man. By the way, man can put you in a guilt trip and doing something. That's not the same as God telling you something. You make sure you find the difference there. Because God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit of God. And he uses man. But don't get man to put you on a guilt trip. That's different. That's manipulation. Let God talk to you. God will reveal himself. That's what I was going to about the wisdom. See, God can reveal to us, his sons and daughters, things that the world have no idea. You know, there was a missionary in the part, I may mention this before, here I'm not quite sure. I get to go places I don't remember what I talk about. So maybe a lot of things are going to be used against me someday. in the court of law. But I have to jot down everything I say and remember where I said them. But there was a missionary, and long story short, they were in the field, lost everything that they had before they got there. It was during the time where there was no airplanes yet. They were riding in the boat. They lost everything. The boat started on fire. They threw everything out. They were just saved by the lifeboat. So all of their stuff was gone, but God told them to still go there. And the only thing they had was the clothes on their back, their mom, their dad, and the children. And they went anyways. And when they got there, they worked with a tribal group of people, and they didn't obviously respond to them. They would give them the gospel, worked hard, but nobody responded to anything that he said. And then one point in time, it was really getting rough. I mean, what kind of mission letter would you write if you've been there for that long and nobody even comes around and talks to you? What kind of mission letter would you write? And we probably dropped him a long time ago as a missionary. But he was not the one that would write, well, I led this so much in the Lord. We started this so many churches. We started a Bible Institute. We started this. He's not writing those kind of letters. He's just trying to survive. He's just trying to get a hold of God in all of this trial and affliction. But what happened, somebody said this. His wife ended up dying, and they couldn't fly the body out. They didn't have enough money to fly back. So they ended up burying the mother in a canoe that some of the tribal people had let them use. They took the canoe, it was dug out, right? They laid the body of their mother, and the children, the sons, went, go ahead and dug the hole where to bury their mom. And the dad preached the funeral of his own wife. And the little girl stood at the foot after they were buried and said, I know where my mom's going to be, and I'm going to see her someday. Unbeknownst to this family, they're grieving, crying, obviously, but thanking the Lord at the same time. God gave them grace. And unbeknownst to them, the tribal people were watching everything that they were doing. They were just watching them. And at the end of this, several of the tribal fellow men, young men, came up, about four or five of them, came up to the preacher, and he's trying to, you know, stop crying, but still saying, praise God, I'll see my wife someday, and so on and so forth. He preached his own wife's funeral. That would be hard to do. But they came to him and said this, we want what you have. Now, for a long time, they labored, and these people did not say a word. They only did business with them. Hey, maybe sell you a canoe or sell you this, sell food maybe. That's about it. Anything comes to religion or anything with the Lord Jesus Christ, not a word. They would not speak to him about it. And if he would try, they would be kindly, politely say no. But these young men came up and said, we want what you have. And then one of the young men said, we've been watching you all this time you've been here. Whether you realize it or not, we've been watching you. And we noticed this about your religion, that it's not only good for living, it's also good for dying. And we have that. See, the lost don't have that. God can't reveal to them grace in that fashion. God gives them mercy at point, and God is very long-suffering to the lost. I was a lost man. By the way, when I speak of the lost, I'm not saying that we're any better than they are. We were as lost as they were at points. And we were trusting other things. I was trusting to be a good kid. But I know inside that that wasn't it. But those men said this to him. We notice that your religion, whatever you have, is not only good for living. We see it now, sir. It's good for dying. Even when your wife died, you can still at least praise the Lord in all of it. And then a great revival happened in that tribe. And then the story goes on that people got saved and churches started. But that's how the Lord does it. He gets glorified in all of our life. He gets the credit. It's not through our abilities. It's not through our talents. It's through His power and His glory. And we have a God that is not limited. And He can live through us today. He can live through us right now if we simply yield to Him and let Him do so. In the first two chapters of Genesis, Elohim occurs 35 times in connection with God's creative power. Elohim is a plural noun which begins to reveal to us in the first verse of the Bible, which is in the beginning God, that God is a Trinity. Let me get a side note if I find my verse. You see, a lot of cults and different things don't believe in Trinity. Remember that. They do not believe in the Trinity. They don't understand it, so they don't want to believe it. And that's why, be careful when you don't understand something in the Bible. That's why it's good to have friends that know the Bible, like your pastor. It's a good thing you'd be a friend of your pastor. Oh, I'm forgetting all about my thing right here. Sorry about that, folks. How you go? I'll ramble, you right. I'm not blocking anybody when I'm standing right here, right? I can go like this, but that's not going to help. Not going to help me. I like to see you guys. It might not be for the case for your point, but I won't be here next week, so you can rejoice in that. I'm going to get some water. Here we go. Wow, your mouth dries up here really good, especially when you're shaking. All right. There it is. I found it. 1 John chapter number 5. And let's go ahead and read verse number 6. Actually, go ahead and read. There's good passages here. We'll read verse 1. Encouraging words here. Verse 1, 1 John chapter number 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's not enough to know Jesus. We need to know that he is the Christ. See, in the Old Testament, they didn't know Jesus. That name wasn't revealed to them. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And so, at the very point in John chapter number 1, revealed to us his name, Jesus. And then remember, Gabriel says, you shall call his name what? Jesus. So that Jesus' name didn't come till later in time. But in the Old Testament, he was known as Emmanuel, God with us, Messiah. So Christ, that's what it says. That's what it means. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Remember that people did not believe Jesus was Lord. Understand that. When he was living on earth, most of the people, even the religious group of people, did not believe that Jesus was Lord. In fact, he was accused of what? Blasphemy. That was the accusation that the Caiaphas, Mr. High Priest, the guy that wore the chef hat, he was the one. That was the charges on Jesus. This guy says he's God. He's got the power to forgive sins. See, they were taught that God was the only one that has the power to forgive sins. God taught it not robbery. To be equal with God, Christ. And so, God was put on the trial by the Jews as a blasphemer. And then they presented to Jesus, they went and then they changed their accusation when they took the Pilate. What were they saying? This guy wants to take over what? He doesn't believe in your Nero. And Nero, or whatever, their emperor, he wasn't Nero at the time, Caesar. You see, he doesn't believe in him. See, Caesar got a high head. And the Roman Empire thought that their emperor, certain ones of them, particularly, were gods. So when Jesus goes around and says he's gods, that's what the high priest told Pilate, tried to convict Jesus, and saying that this guy goes around and doesn't respect your authority. God doesn't have to. God doesn't bow down to the United States of America. God doesn't bow down to New York State. God doesn't bow down to any of your boss. Because we'll find out in this word, Elohim, God is the Lord of Lords, and he's the King of Kings. We bow down to him. Our president someday, all of them, even the, go all the way back to George Washington, all of them someday will bow down and will say to our Lord, your Lord and your King. They'll speak that with their tongue. God's got a lot of power, all powerful. And verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. By the way, when keeping God's commandments, it benefits you. If you go ahead and study His commandments, almost all of them benefits you. If you love God, in return, He'll love you. That benefits you. If you don't kill somebody, there'll probably be nobody looking after, going after you and killing you. Or no police officer will take you and put you in jail or whatever. If you don't steal, that'd be wonderful. I don't want you stealing. The commandments benefits our relationship with mankind. God always likens to that. If you're going to love me, then you have to love your brothers. Because He said in His word, how can you love me whom you have not seen? If you don't love your brother, who can see? So God, in verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandment, and His commandments are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? That he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That was a big deal. Jesus was the Son of God. That's a big deal. That's saying that Jesus was God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water. What's that talking about? Birth. But by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is true. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W, speaking of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, not agree in one, they're one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. You see, in a lot of translation, even the Jehovah's Witness does not believe this verse, because in their translation of the Bible that they use, verse 7 is totally omitted. It's not there. You won't find verse 7. There's nothing spoken in their Bible of verse 7, if you read their translation. And most people don't believe in the Trinity, but that is by far one of the clearer verses that talks about the Trinity. It speaks it out right for you. There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. See what they'll do? And it's they'll take part of it. They'll take verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. They'll take that completely out. And then put verse 8 in its place and spice verse 8. And it says in verse 7 in their Bible, and there are three that bear witness in earth. And then they'll put, that's verse 7. In verse 8 they go and says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. That's how you'll read it in theirs. They splice verse 8, totally take out verse 7. So that's why a lot of them don't believe in the Trinity. But we believe in the Trinity. Elohim, in the beginning God, that word has the connotation that there's plurality in it, and that's God. See, God was all-sufficient in the beginning. He didn't need us. He was all-sufficient. They had the community of the Trinity. They had a great time. They fellowshipped each other. It was wonderful. That's why it's amazing in the cross when God says, Jesus says to the Lord, God, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because they had a great relationship. Awesome relationship. They talked with each other. Awesome relationship. And like I said again, God demonstrated to us as humans, that we can have the same relationship. Even though Jesus was God, He did not behave Himself as God. He didn't. Not at all. He suffered hunger. He suffered lack of shelter. He slept outside. He was a homeless man. And He suffered betrayal. All you name it. Suffered false accusation. You name it. He's the friend of sinners. He was mocked. He was spit upon, and yes, he was loved by some people. So God's behaved himself as man. You know, even the disciples kind of asked him, hey, because they know from the Old Testament that if he was God, then he can call down fire from heaven. Elijah, that's one story. He called upon God to send fire down. And so fire came down and destroyed all of those prophets of Baal. And then we see what happens. But even the disciples, John And James, the sons of Zebedee, said those to Jesus when there was rejection that he felt in Samaria. They told him, hey, call down fire and burn all these people. And then guess what? The devil and the mount of temptation. What did he try to do? He said, you're God. You can turn this bread. You can turn this stone into bread. You can call angels down to minister to you. And then God says himself, he could have called legions of angels to destroy the world, but he didn't. He behaved as man. Even he had all the power of God in him, he behaved as man. He suffered sorrow. He was acquainted with sorrow. He had grief. He behaved as man. And so don't be going around and saying, well, I can't live a Christian life. Jesus demonstrated that we can. As humans, we can live a Christian life. It's simply a yielded. Jesus yielded himself to the Lord. Not as thou wilt, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt, Lord. Always give the glory back to God. Remember? Glorify your Son, that you may be glorified. God said this, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. See, he was demonstrating the whole time, a relationship. He was showing it to us. And we have the record. We have it. We can read it all day long. We can have the record. We can study it. We have it. And God shows in his life. Pastor did the life of Christ in Wednesday night series. He showed how his relationship with God was. If you paid attention, he always referred to his relationship. That's my Father. Where I am, there you be me also. Where my Father is, I and my Father are one. And you can be one with us. It's amazing. It's amazing. We can have a relationship. As much as Christ had a relationship with God, as a human, he was part man and part, not part. He was 100% man, 100% God at the same time. I understand we can't be the God part. But what God is trying to do in his sovereignty is that we can focus a little bit on his human aspect. He was from a broken home. He had a stepdad. He had to learn obedience. Nobody had to obey. He didn't have to obey. He was God. But he learned obedience. Amazing. Amazing what God did for us. Not just dying on the cross, but showing us a wonderful, wonderful way of true, true relationship. Elohim, the Trinity. On the fourth paragraph on this page, on the latter part right there, the root of Elohim is El. And it's not funny, it's kind of neat, because the word El in the Spanish dialect, when you say El, that refers to he. It's a male pronoun. Just something to throw out there. The root of Elohim is El, which means mighty, strength, or strong one. We see then that God, Elohim, is mighty in creation and before creation. Elohim is mighty. The plural noun indicates a triumph source of power. Again, the Trinity. All right, we'll go to the next page after our verse. There's one more word there, the Father. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26, God plural, said, let us, plural, make man in our image. And you can see the pronoun there, us. God didn't make a mistake when he used the pronoun us, because he was referring to them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three in one. Let us, plural, make man in our image. And man was created as a concerted act of three members of the Godhead. The Father, by the way, that's another word for Trinity, Godhead. The Father, Exodus 20:11. The Son, Colossians 1:16. And the Holy Spirit. Elohim is a plurality in unity. We see so small, God is bigger than the picture. And that's the case with us. We tend to limit him because of our understanding of life. But the problem is this. We can't understand life. We have to understand him, and then we can understand life. Because God is the creator of life. It'll be better to learn from the man or the Lord that wrote the book about life. The book, the Bible, is about life. It's about daily living. It's about Christianity on earth. It talks about a little bit of it in heaven. That's where there's a lot of mystery. Because this book is good for earth. It's for us. This is for us. And God did not forget. You know, sometimes I'll pray and I kind of scratch my head. Why did I do that? He already knows the Bible. Sometimes I pray and I quote the Bible to God. I understand sometimes it's a good thing. It's a good habit to quote the Bible. It's just like saying to your mom, remember, mom, you told me to do this? Or you told me that you're going to do this? Or you tell your dad, you know, dad promised you to do something, and you kind of remind him, hey, dad, remember you told me to do this? So I think in a sense that's good. But sometimes I scratch my head and I say, God already knows that. He's the one that wrote it. And I'm reminding him. But it says right here, Elohim speaks of the function of deity in creation, judgment, deliverance. Oh, sorry. There you go. The Son, Colossians 1:16, Holy Spirit Elohim, plurality, blah, blah, blah. Plurality in unity. There we go. Elohim speaks of the function of deity in creation, judgment, deliverance, punishment. Elohim implies fullness of might. God doesn't lack power. He has all of it. Any power that we understand, Romans 13 talks about. You write all that down. Let me go find Romans chapter number 13. God is not weak. It says in Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Any authority, governmental authority, self-government, family government, church government, all of those, authority, spirits of authority. We got the employer, employee. It talks about that in the Bible. There's a relationship between an employer and an employee. And there's a relationship between government and us, civil government. God ordained those powers that are there, our president, our governor, our senator, police officers, all of those are ordained by God. And the church, we have per se deacons, if you want to say it that way, or particularly in our church, you have the care ministers, but we have the pastor, assistant to the pastor, those men that God has so fit to put in our place as our authority. And the home, the father, for the children, is the mom and the father, the parents, and so on and so forth. Those are the spirits of authority. And God says there is no power from them. They all came from God. And God used a very interesting word in verse 4 of Romans 13. For he, talking about what? Rulers. In verse 3, if you read it, I won't read it, but in verse 4 it says, for he is a minister of God. You know, the President of the United States indirectly, whether he knows it or not, works for your God. Do you know that the pastor of this church, Pastor Art Cole, works for God? Do you know that your assistant pastor here, Pastor Seth Garland, works for God? And your secretaries, Rebecca and Kaylee, they work for God? We work for God. You're a missionary. I work for God. He's the one that gives me authority. It's not on my own. And I simply teach because the pastor asked me to teach. And I recognize his authority in my life. And that's what we need to do. God is our authority in creation. Deity means what? God. There's no other thing. In judgment, deliverance, punishment, Elohim implies fullness of might. And we'll stop right there for now. And we'll continue the next time I'm around.